Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace go on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve. Worthy is your name. So be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve a praise. You're the name above all. Be exalted as your glory. You're the name, be exalted, Lord, be exalted. You're the name, you're the name above all names, be exalted as your glory. You're the name above, you're the name. One more time. Be exalted, Lord. Be exalted. You're the name. Be exalted, Lord. Be exalted. Now in the heavens, you're the name. You're the name above. You're the name above. Worthy is your name, Chief. You deserve. You deserve. Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name.
So death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. smile and stir of Satan. The heavens arose, the praise of your You have no rival, you have no, you have no equal, now and forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the king, yours is the glory. Yours is the name. Sing everyone. You have no equal. Oh, you have no. Now and forever. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name. I want everybody to sing it consciously. Say, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silence the bone. The heavens are open for the praise of your glory. For you are raised. Oh, you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, Lord. Orabakashada, your sister kingdom, your sister glory. Your sister name, your sister name, above all names, what a beautiful name it is. Oh, what a beautiful name, the name. Beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to it. Oh, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Alright, so let's try to teach the word. What did I say the theme is for today? So much about confession than what the average Christian knows. Meanwhile, it's not a focal point, but it's not a topic, but it's a focal point. I'll touch more on confession. Although we're talking about the what? The consciousness. If you observe, I've tried to do a lot of teachings on consciousness. I think I've done a teaching called Spiritual Consciousness before. And I've also done the consciousness, like being Christ conscious. Christ consciousness. And now I'm doing the consciousness of this new life. Because if something is not working in your consciousness yet, it will not exist in your life. Are you here? If it's not working in your consciousness, it will not what? Exist in your life. Little wonder God spoke to us even in the Old Testament from Deuteronomy 30:14. It says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that you may do it. Speaking about something they were doing that was wrong, and how to come out of it was this scripture. That's why you see the word but there at the beginning. It said, but the word is very what? Near to you. Where is it? In your mouth. And in what? To the end that you what? Do it. You see the algorithm? If it's not in your mouth, it will not be in your heart, and you will not what? Do it. Are we together? How to bring or activate spiritual consciousness? It begins with the mouth, through the heart, then into manifestation in the physical world. There's a lot of glory in the New Testament. So much glory we can't explain in one day. So much glory. And one of these Tuesdays, if I can remember vividly, I was teaching and I brought to your mind how that, you know, I think we're talking about the laws of the Spirit. And I showed you from Romans 8:2. Let's read it together if we can. Romans 8:2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in where? Christ. Has made me free from what? The law of sin. And then, now, listen, there's another law in Christ. It is called the law of the Spirit of life. And you see, even if you're in Christ, alright, we are all in Christ, isn't it? Are we all born again here? We are all in Christ. That's one side of the coin. If you don't understand these laws in Christ, you will not live in the vital realities, meaning in the manifestation of everything that God's word have said that is virtual yet. Are we together? In fact, I said virtual yet. If you knew it, you probably have a chance. The law of the Spirit are the revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. The description of our world. Alright? The description of our world. The Bible speaking in book of Acts, it says, in him we live, breathe, and have our being. Take Christ for an elevator. Without the elevator, you cannot go up. You cannot even come down. What enables you to go up and come down through any big tall building is what? An elevator. Are you get what I'm trying to say? You can take him also for a plane. You can't go fly up nor fly down without the plane. When you are in Christ, you are in a realm of endless possibilities. The Bible says, in Christ, you are a new man. You see, he makes it possible for you to be new. Not only new, you enjoy all the privilege of this new world. Many know they are new, but they don't understand to the degree that they are new. How that the wheat, the Bible speaks about that in Ephesians 3. It says we are supposed to know the length, the width, the breadth of the love of God. If you don't understand who Christ is, alright, even if you are inside of him, the Bible said you are inside of him. If you are inside of him, you will not even enjoy the benefit of being inside of him because you don't know him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You got to understand him. He's a real deal. There are many people who know they are new, but they don't know to the extent that they are new. Lately, I saw a preacher. Thank God for his sincerity. He said one time, he had a problem. Firstly, he had spoken like every natural man before that time. He says things like, no one is perfect. No one is perfect.
We all sinners in different ways. And stuff like that. I'm sure you've heard a lot of people say that. And I'm wondering, in your heart now, maybe you're wondering, are you about to say something different? Is that not it? I mean, this is what everybody thinks. And we're not everybody. Now, we're not refusing to talk like them because we're proud. No. We're refusing to talk like them because God's word teaches us that we're not supposed to talk like them. In fact, the Bible says we are the light of the world. You see, if you don't understand who you are, you think you are just nothing better than an Idoma, a thief, Ibibio, Igbo man and woman. You are bigger than that. The reason why some of these things are strange to you because you are more conscious of this realm than your real realm. You are more conscious of the identity, which is a function of wherever you are coming from, whatever school you had gone to, environment, than the identity of who you are in Christ. And so as we are talking now, the consciousness that you have that is negating what you are saying right now is a consciousness which is a byproduct of the identity you had from your environment in this world. So if we say, for instance, you are perfect, it begins to fight what you are saying. So nobody can be perfect. It is more relatable. And so many people don't have the impetus to say they are perfect. Remember, they are going in Deuteronomy 30. The word has to be in your, before in your, before in your. So if you can't say it, you can't even believe it. So very few people say, I'm perfect. Meanwhile, they are fighting. You know, if for instance, you don't believe you're perfect, that means you're fighting God. In Matthew 4, it says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Someone said, it is perfect in the context of what he's saying. What is he saying? Ah. He was talking about them living above sin, isn't it? So he said, be perfect. Or is he saying we should just be perfect in that particular sin? You have a perfect nature. Are you listening to me? Say, I have a perfect nature. A very perfect nature. But you see, you didn't realize this early. That is why for some of us, we were struggling. Even when we began to hear it little by little, there was a little struggle. Because you had been used to another realm, and your supposed real realm now came later. Your identity, true identity. The Bible in Colossians 3:3 says, what we are seeing right now about Christ is the true us. The real us. You can quote it in the Amplified Edition. It calls it the real us. It says, for you died to this world, and your new real life. You see that? What we're saying sounds new, but it's even more real. More importantly, it is real. The real you, not just new. Are you listening to me? So the real you is what I'm describing right now. The real you is perfect. But you see, you've been wandering on the earth without that knowledge for a long time. The knowledge that you had formed your consciousness. Alright, and since it formed your consciousness, it determined your expectations about life. You couldn't say I'm perfect because you never heard words like that suggested you are a perfect being. Are you listening to me? And so that consciousness is not mounted up on your inside. That you are perfect. You don't have that consciousness. You only expect failure. When people fail, you say words like it's only normal. You say words like we are all sinners. You only like scriptures or relate better with scriptures that suggest that you are weak. Even though the scriptures was traveling somewhere else. For instance, the Bible said for all have sinned. But you wouldn't see the ED at the end because you think you are a sinner. It said all have sinned. Not all are sinning. It said all have sinned. And have come short of the glory of God through Adam's disobedience. The Bible says, but by another man, Christ Jesus, sin has left the world. And we have received the gift of what? Righteousness. To reign in this world by same man, one man, Jesus Christ. So I reign in this life. Now, what you have heard now, it's even more real. It's real. I don't know. If you are so fast, you would have seen the last part of the noun word. I wrote, I said, as far as your eyes can see. you will see most of this thing there. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, the things which are not seen, he said, they are more real than the things that we can see physically with our optical eyes. I told you on Sunday, little wonder, Elisha, amidst many soldiers, was so confident. His confidence was a function of what he was seeing in the spirit. The consciousness. He had a consciousness of what was virtual. Think about it. Angels were not physically walking on the earth. He knew they were available in the spirit, in the unseen realm. Now, what he saw in the unseen realm determined his confidence in the physical. Are you seeing this? It determined his confidence in the physical. Ken Young puts it like this. He says, awareness is the environment that boldness thrives. If somebody wants to arrest you and your dad was a soldier and his soldiers are around you, there's a certain kind of boldness that you just mount up by default on the strength of what you are saying. You wouldn't shake. Hallelujah to Jesus. But if they were not there before they came, take for instance, they were there but you didn't know. You'll be scared when you see oppositions coming. But the moment you see your dad soldiers just gather around, there's a certain kind of confidence that will just come, be activated by default. Are you all listening to me? Elisha saw angels in the spirit. What he saw in the spirit determined his confidence where? In the flesh. Why? He knew that the things which are not seen are more real. Do you believe what I'm saying is wonderful evening? I know sin is more relatable than righteousness. Sin is seen almost every day of our lives. Righteousness is, let's say, probably scarce. But righteousness is more real than sin. You see, because sin does not have a root. Yes, it used to have, but it doesn't have again. So sin is dead from the root. It's destroyed from the root. How do I know that? Hebrews 2 and 14. It reads, can we have this in the Amplifier edition? It says, therefore, since these his children share in flesh and blood, the physical nature of mankind, he himself in a what? Similar manner. Also shared in the same physical nature, but without sin. So that through experiencing death, he might what? Make powerless. And what? Ineffective. And what? Impotent. Him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Glory to God. Sin had a root. Right now, sin has no root. The root of sin has been destroyed. Satan has been destroyed. He had power. He doesn't have power. 1 Corinthians 15, I think 56 says, O death, where is thy sting? Meaning death, bring your best shot. You don't walk anymore. But you see, Satan thrives on ignorance. The ignorance of God's people. When he sees any ignorant Christian, he takes advantage of your ignorance. He said, my people perish not for lack of power. He said, my people perish for lack of what? Knowledge. You have to mount up. You see, these things are not said to you so that you go and sit down, look at them and forget them whenever you are faced with life circumstances. You are supposed to mount them on your inside. And where this works is in prayer. As you are praying, you are mounting up wings as eagles. This revelation become your wings. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? You fly. This is how you fly on the wings of the Spirit and fulfill Romans 8:2 that says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. You don't just know it. You say it. And as you say it, it gets to your heart. And when it gets to your heart, it becomes your reality. We saw that algorithm in Deuteronomy 30. It's in your mouth, to your heart, that you may do it. You see that? Because you see, whenever you say wrong things, Satan is listening to you. Just as God is listening to you. The Bible said, He has set His word far above all of His names. Names, alright, are things we as humans gave God from Adam. But we say Rapha, that's not His name. That's what He did for the people and they gave Him a name. When He healed them, they called Him Rapha. But He's not Rapha. His power goes beyond being Rapha. That I can do something for you does not mean that's who I am. You can't subject my whole identity to what I can do for you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That He can, that He delivered people does not mean He is a name tag to that. Makadishkim, you know, Rapha, Jireh, provider, right? El Shaddai, multi-breasted one. I mean, those are not, those names are beautiful, but they are not His name. His particular name that represents His nature is the Word. He calls Himself in the book of Revelation, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God and is God. You see that? He's the Word. And He said, I've set my Word far above the names people give me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? In other words, you see, you cannot subject the Word of God to your experience about God. Because experience can be misunderstood by men. Yes, it's deep, but it's true. Now, David was on the top of the mountain. And he was hearing the voice of God. While he was hearing the voice of God at the top of the mountain, the people at the base of that same mountain were hearing the sounds of thunder. He was hearing the voice of God through the ministry of an angel. An angel was speaking to him. He was hearing audible, particular words. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. But the people at the base were not hearing the words. The words he was saying up there, the angels were speaking up there, was sounding like what? Thunder at the base of the mountain. Now imagine Moses comes down and said, that thunder you heard was not thunder. The way that God was saying He's pleased with you people and you should have a nice sleep. And maybe one of them stands up and says, no. For we to hear that sound from heaven, God is saying there is war. We should go in the power of His might and go and fight a war. You see, was there a sound from heaven? Yes. Did he hear that sound from heaven? Yes. Did the sound mean he should go and fight war? Was the sound a thundery sound? Yes. That's how it is. You sat down and you thought that was your husband. Why was he your husband? Because you saw him and he smiled at you in a vision. And when you come to pastor, pastor smiles. He said, that's not your husband. Because he has put two and two together. And he says, you probably like him. He said, I don't like him. You know, how God works is very beautiful. She comes and she said, that's my husband. And I said, well, fine, great. And as I'm saying great, I just feel like an unrest in my spirit. I said, no, we need to pray about this. While I'm praying, the Holy Ghost says, that's not her husband. Sometimes that's how it starts. He doesn't explain. He says, that's not her husband. Tell her to go and pray. Okay, go and pray. Come the next time. That's not your husband. But you see, the reason why he's speaking like this is because he has seen your heart. You like the guy. And out of the abundance of the heart, the vision came. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Many people have had visions that they want to see. And they may tell even their friends that they don't like the person. But only God knows that you like the person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, sir. There are some of your friends that if you can bear witness that they have never liked anybody. Some of them are around you. Some of your friends, if you ask them, who have you ever liked in this show? They say, nobody, God forbid, nobody. But only God knows the person they are crushing on. I mean, even right now, they are crushing on that person. But only God knows. Some of them, they rather die than say it. They rather carry it to their grave. say me to, for people to know I like this guy, make I just be thunder strike me now. I prefer him. That's how proud some people can be. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? But God that knows all things, and they can come and say, Pastor, I don't know why I saw this girl. Yeah, I don't like women, no. I don't even like tall girls, but I don't know why. In fact, she's not my type. No matter the way you paint it, God knows you like him. And if you truly like him, God will just pinch the pastor and say, no gree. No gree. Now lie, lie. These are sometimes God help people. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Oh, you like Abuja. You've seen the business. Everything is figured out in Abuja. And then you have a vision. You saw yourself in a shopping mall selling things in Abuja, having a lot of market and people coming to buy. Yes, banners. You saw yourself at banners. And I mean, the market was heavy. Then you come to your pastor. Sir, the Lord has opened my eye. My destiny is not in this town. I am going to make that money so that I become the number one partner. Now, as important as being a partner sounds, pastor will still look at you and say, don't worry, let's make the money here together. I don't feel God is sending you to Abuja. Some people can run away. Yes, they can. God is saying they are not agree. Before you know, after 3 years, they are working in a hotel, taking shifts. From going to start a business, they are taking shifts. Because they think their glory is tied to a city. Some want to even relocate out of this country. That's how terrible poverty can be. You start worshipping your knees like a god. Have you seen ladies, they say, jump 7 times if you want to marry. They are jumping. They are worshipping their problem. Light a candle and pray till the candle finish burning. Pray naked, light a candle. Just be praying. Your husband will come the next day. In 7 days' time, sorry. Light first candle, particular red candle. It represents the blood of Jesus. You see somebody who has a clue of the New Testament, of what Jesus has done. The person is lighting candle. Why? She is worshipping her needs more. She wants a husband. Why? Because of what people are saying. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If it's not because of what people are saying, it's because she's feeling like time is going. I'm 29, I'm 34, time is going. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Many people like that. But the things which are not seen are what? Worry. Do you know all of you here? One day there will be no Igala and Idoma and Thief. Yes, sir. Huh? Why live your life focally, chiefly, tied to your culture? Why? It even determines who you marry. For things that God did not start. I hope you know all these your elders that made laws that you should not marry certain people. They'll be punished for what they did. I hope you realize that if they are in heaven now, they are receiving punishment. Even in heaven, God will punish them. Keep them in a special place and flog them small. Should in case they made heaven, no. The worst of them are the ones that say they did blood sacrifice, that if you marry, you will die. Firstly, did you see that some that married did not die? But let's not talk about that one first. Say if they marry, one of their child will die. See the stupid things. And you believe in new creation. Say, I'm a new creation, but if you know, be... Let me be direct, so that you understand me. If no be Igede girl, or Idoma girl, I know if you marry. They say our people, no, they marry thief people. And you are a new creation. Just say you are an old creation, let and rest. Because what kind of a new creation are you? He said, we will respect elders. You know who God is, that you are putting God and elders together. You look at God and what is elders compared to the Ancient of Days? The great monarch. Your elders are bowing like this. If they made heaven, they are bowing like this before him now. That's if they made heaven. The worst of them are the ones that use blood to now do this covenant. They are in hell. Straight up. Some of you don't believe, right? See, it's a lie. It's a lie. My lineage, the ones that did blood, they are not. Be argue with yourself. Don't repent. You go and join them too. It's true. You say, I'm a new creation. I've been called out from every tribe, people, and nation. But our people say, person wear something they pin on for leg, and he move front, the leg will cut. Our people say, if they walk out and your left leg hit stone, it means say they talk about you. Our people say, if your hand is scratched, it means say money they come. How many of you have been having your hands scratchy for a long time? Where is the money? All these fetishes. One sees a black bed. He say, hey, black bed. They say if black bed pass your front, it means say somebody don't die. Allows innocent black bed to go. I hope you know finally there will truly be no tribe. Huh? Some of you that are liking people for their tribe, supporting people for their tribe. There will be a public party for you in heaven if you make heaven. No, where they'll do for like 1 year. Because you disgrace the kingdom. You disgrace the kingdom. See a fine man, a Holy Ghost filled man, that God says your husband, then he's not entering your eye at the same time. He's a what tribe? As he just says the tribe, he says, ah, I better go. No go area. My mother say, my father say, I'm the Adao of my house. I'm the Ene of my house. I'm the Ochanya. Ochanya to his first daughter, right? Wake up! Are you listening to me? Yes, some of you, your husbands, as eager guests, are thief men from heaven. Listen carefully. The day God did that, he didn't ask for your permission. He didn't even know that the boy would be thief. He just created human beings, and you people partitioned human beings into called tribes and religion. Yeah. And as you just got to that, one day, what's this man's name? I forgot him again. Kennedy, I know he's Igede, right? One day he's just walking, and as he's walking, the Lord said, turn to your left. Here cometh your wife. As he turns, he sees Christabel. And God says, that's your wife. He's excited for a moment till he asks the tribe. Christabel, what tribe are you? I'm thief. Okay, I just wanted to say hi. You see now. The culture is so strong. See what the Bible says. Give me Colossians 2 and from verse 8. In the Amplified rendition. He said, don't allow anybody steal and spoil. You know, he said, beware lest anyone cheat. Alright? See to it that no one takes you captive. Through what? And what? Pseudo. According to what? This English is too much. Give me that former, this thing that you remove now. Some people don't understand. We want this tribe to understand this thing. One, two, go. See. Cheat you. Cheat you! See your husband, see you. You can't do anything about it. Is that not cheating? The people that have cheated you have died. It's even funny to say, that guy cheated my grandparents. I say, okay, no problem. But he's still cheating me right now. How? Shebi has died. Yeah, but he's still cheating me. You have a choice. me now, I'm Igide, I see a thief girl that God says my wife. I'll then go and consult elders when elders of heaven have spoken. I'll just go and tell them, see the wife, accept her. They say, we don't accept. I say, God bless you. I'll call my friend to our parlor. Pastor, join us. All right. So, blah, 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 blah. What God has joined together. Thank you, sir. Now you may kiss your bride. Straight to the point. Carry my bride, Pastor. We'll see. One choice. Two children, three children, we go. Since say, Pastor, they will not attend the wedding. No, what of parlor wedding? Just bring one uncle and one auntie. I know you guys are wondering. See, is that not? You know, some people said they want to go and beg. I was talking to one of my friends. Said they have been legislating for a meeting where they'll go and beg that the team should stop. And this is not the first time they've been begging. In fact, they met one man who was over 100 years and he said, I am too young to change the decision. Yes. He said, the man said, I'm too young. Over 100 years. You know what he means? People that wrote this thing, they've gone. So him that's over 100, he's too young. If the oldest man is saying, I'm too young, this thing na cocoa. Who knows what they call cocoa? Who knows what they call cocoa? When you hold your friend, people are fighting who will put somebody down. You have to move. If not, what will you explain to your children tomorrow? There's a generation rising, that will not hear that rubbish. Say, Daddy, I've seen God spoke to me in clear terms. But you are saying, what did you say? Please just imagine that I am not from that place. It's true. As some of you that are like that, you think God must give your own tribe as a husband or your wife. And you say you understand new creation. Hallelujah to Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in what? Christ has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. And listen, after you know this kind of thing, you see what the Bible had told us, we read it, right? No, nobody should cheat you through tradition. Let me even finish it. Go back. I didn't finish the scripture. I just stopped at that cheat. Cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. See that? According to the basic principle of the word and not according to Christ. Your root is Christ. And finally, there will be no language in this world. No single language will be in this world. Finally. That is why we are all filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are speaking one language today. And that language is Christ Jesus. The Bible said the unity of the faith is in the knowledge of the Son of God. One language. Are you listening to me? There's a generation that has to redefine these things. I'm telling you the truth. Whether I say it or not, I tell you, crisis will rise in the future. And Jesus said something about the kingdom. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until today, the kingdom of God suffered what? He said, and only the violent take it by force. There will be a generation that will take it by force, whether we like it or not. Because you can't tell me that you create traditions and God respect it. It's not possible. How about tradition that they say you have to sleep with the woman before you marry her? God will respect that? That's fornication. It can't be tradition. Are you listening to me? Mount up a consciousness of who you are. When you have the knowledge, live with knowledge. You can't have this knowledge and be thinking like everybody. You want to choose where you marry from? No, you want to choose? Yeah, it's been funny. Hallelujah to Jesus. You scared of darkness with the knowledge of Christ. When it takes light, your body begin to shake. Especially as a lady. If you are a man, you need to be flogged. You are not a serious person. A man that is shaking when nipa takes light should wear skirt. You know, as young as Michael is, if they take light, you see him just in one part of the house, living his life. But Flora is looking for where there's light. She's looking for where there's light. She just stand up and start finding any human being around. But he's even sleeping at that age without light. He will go and off all the lights. And only he will just be in the room. Some people now say that's how God created women. It's not true. Are there women here who are not scared of darkness? I hope you are saying the truth. Wrong things should not be normal. Are you hearing me? They say sin is a norm. We are all sinners. You and who? You don't agree that you are a sinner. As I'm talking now, some people are like, so this brother won't tell me say no be sinner. As it stands like that now, he won't tell me say a righteous might be. I laugh in Spanish. You know why some people find it difficult to believe that other people are righteous? Because they are not righteous themselves. The way they rate sin so high. As it looked me like this, you know, years ago, in a conference, close conference for ministers, I say, if you're a virgin, raise your hands up. I thought while we're ministers, we'll be many. And they are pastors. And the person that asks is a Jew. So I was just writing, taking my notes, and I just carelessly. And I observed silence. So I turn like this. And I just smile and carry my hand. And people started laughing at me. They couldn't believe what I'm saying. So I said, okay. And I said, you actually are a virgin? I said, no, sir, no. Because nobody stood up. Me too, I did not stand up. But when I went back home, I was wondering, why is this strange? I didn't forget what I'm trying to say. We've read sin too high. We've read sin too high.
Too high. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why when we talk about sin, when we talk down sin, some people get so angry. They feel so bad. There are some churches where you begin to talk down sin, they're like, who does he think he is? You know, on Facebook one time, I posted something talking down Satan. I said, Satan is nothing. A young man entered the comment section. I said, I beg, all this hype is too much. Stop all the hype. It's an MD for a big apostolic ministry. He said, stop all the hype. It's too much. In fact, a believer can be demon possessed. He said, a demon can be in a believer. He said, for instance, I've seen it. So, one of my members in church now entered the comment section and said, where did you see it? And I said, for instance, what do you say about people who are in church but they are addicted to pornography and masturbation? Then somebody now commented again and said, is it you? I had to tell them, stop this nonsense you boys are doing. We are not in Saturday meeting. Stop it. He did not answer again. That question was too deep. You know, sometimes people will just use style and ask questions for themselves. See, for instance, I have seen believers. What if I said, I'm a believer that... Now, we are not saying you are condemned. You see, it's the way we even see it. Huh? This guy says he's a believer. We did not vet. He did not fulfill all the right that makes him a believer. Alright? Then we now see him addicted to pornography and masturbation. We now say, this believer is what? Addicted. The Bible says if anybody be in Christ is a what? Simple. If you are a new creation, you cannot do old things. If you are doing the old things, it's because you are ignorant of your new nature. Or not conscious of your word, new nature. Is it ignorant or not conscious? Because sometimes it can be available, but you are not conscious of it. For Elisha, take for instance, they were what? Available. Even Gehazi,
Do you know they were available before Gehazi started shaking? Angels were everywhere. Elisha was calm. Gehazi was shaking. Why Gehazi was shaking? Were angels available? But he didn't notice. You see that? When you don't notice God's provision, when you're not aware first, you'll be acting like everybody. We are all sinners. Until boom, the word of God hits you. Say, it's not possible. You think they born me to talk this way? Look at me, for instance. You think they gave birth to me like this? Come on. Think about me before being born again. I talk like that, like everybody. I grew in barracks. Not just a normal barrack, a barrack of barracks. I grew up in NDA. And we had all the set of bad and good people. Yeah, you find the good, bad, and ugly in barracks. You always find all the sets of people there. And of course, I was like every young barrack boy. Till God took me and I began to understand the word of God. And yes, I was even going to church, but I never knew the word of God. When I started understanding the word of God, I started asking questions. Suddenly my life changed. I couldn't talk like everybody. The word was in my mouth and now it got to my heart. I even get what I'm trying to say. And I had to leave it. Nobody is righteous, or we are all sinners. We are just living by the grace of God. The grace of God is not something that is so light. It is something heavy. See, if it's not the grace of God, nobody... we are all sinners by the grace. What they are trying to say is that we will always keep on sinning. God will just pity us and help us. Is that not how it looks like? That we are sinners, but God is just pitying us. The grace of God is not pity. The mercy of God is not pity. No! The Bible did not say, for God so pity the world. He said, for God so what? Loved the world. He loved us. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And that love was not just emotional display. Like the love between a boy and a lady sometimes. They cry, but they still cheat on you. That was intentional love. He did it for us. You know, he covered every area that will make for Satan not to come to us again and touch us. Bring us back to the former realm of sin. He covered all of those areas. He died, he was buried, he resurrected. He didn't just die alone. He said, we died together. And the consequences of death is captured in Romans 6 and 8. For instance, let's read together, Romans 6 and 8. It says, I want everybody to read. One, two, go. Can we read out, church? Read out loud, everybody. One, two, read. All right, it's verse 7. Let's read verse 7. One, two, read. You see that? How many of you have died in Christ here? In baptism, you died with Christ. What did you just read? What did you just read? Now say it like you are confident. You see, it has to be in your mouth before your heart. Let the Redeemer of the Lord. It's not enough to be redeemed. Say it. It's a spiritual law. If you don't know how to say it, you will not see it in your life. Now let's read together. One, two, go. Now, have you died in Christ? Don't be scared. You are not going to die physically. Have you died in Christ?
Yes, sir.
Now shout, I'm free from sin.
I'm free from sin.
It is when you say it that your heart receives it and your life will manifest it. That's the law. Don't say, Pastor, I'm not saying it. I don't want to be a liar. I'm a sinner. Sir, I'm a sinner. I cannot say this kind of thing. I like to be sincere with God. No, you're not being sincere. You are being ignorant. It is when you say it, your heart will what? Experience it, and your body will what? Touch it. Spiritual law. It has to be from your mouth, your consciousness, unto a manifestation. Many people like that. And another point I want to raise is that Elisha knew about the army of angels. There were plenty. He was not scared. But listen, until he gave a command, the angels did not do anything. Until he gave a command, the angels were just there. They were waiting for Elisha to speak. Suddenly the Bible said he told them, make the soldiers blind. As he said, you all be blind. Angels made them blind. What am I trying to say? Sometimes we have these things, all right? But until we activate them with our words, we'll never see them in manifestation. You can have it, though. You must say it. It's not enough to have it. You have to say it. Do you have eternal life? Yes. Say, I have eternal life. Why do I need to say it when I know I have it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's not enough to be redeemed. Say it. It's a spiritual law. Listen, let me ask you people a question. Do you know if you die in sin, you'll go to hell? Huh? That's not the gospel. I'm just going somewhere. Do you know? It's a law. This is truth, but it's not the gospel. You actually die in sin, you go to hell. Now, do you think God wants all of you to go to hell? Huh? You think He wants anybody? Some people are wondering, why will He just create heaven and hell and be playing dice with our life? No! He didn't do that. Hell was not created originally for you. Hope you know that. It was created for Satan and his cohort, not for you. But when the first man disobeyed, what then happened? The potency for man to go to hell and end up like Satan came to reality. Now watch out something I'm about to say. For everything God says sin, it's not because it affects Him, it's because it affects you. There is no sin that affects God directly. No sin. Thou shalt not steal. If they catch, who will they beat? Huh? Who will they burn? Especially in this season, they catch you stealing. Who will they beat? Who will they burn? Is it God? Well, He's begging you not to steal. That's what makes Him happy. You don't steal, they don't catch you, He's happy. His happiness is fulfilled when you are happy. That's true love. Ladies, understand this. You are not eating and your husband is eating. You just call him a wicked man. See, this man, I'm not eating, he's eating. Evil. Evil is in your heart. But you are not eating and your husband says, no, I'm not going to eat too. Even if it's very, very difficult. Say, I'm not going to eat too. Honey, except you eat, I'm not eating. What's the problem? You feel at peace. You be excited. That's how God is with us. Are you listening to me? He says, do not commit fornication. Do not commit adultery. People that have HIV and AIDS, 99% of them got it through sex. Alright? If they obeyed God, would they have gotten it? Huh? And if they don't get it, does it affect God? If you don't, if, now that you are HIV negative, I'm sure all of you are negative, isn't it? Huh? You are not answering me confidently, isn't it? Yes, sir. Make me start. If you need a healing, you just raise your hand. I can just speak words into you. But I suppose you all in church are negative, isn't it? Yes, now that you are negative, is God, is He adding flavor to heaven? Who is at peace? You see, you know, you don't understand peace till you see somebody that has HIV. They don't smile anyhow. Even if they are in a night of 1,000 laugh, they are not laughing. If they laugh, you can tell it's fake. When people say, ha ha ha, they will, ha ha. They are not happy people. I've been privileged to counsel one or two people who have this kind of cases before. They are not just happy. Some, in fact, there was one that entirely stopped church. I say, why did you stop? I find out blah 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 blah. I say, is that the reason why you have to stop church? Don't you know God can heal you? Hmm? Even chewing chewing gum. I say, God can heal you. Hmm? She now say, Pastor, even if it's my fault, I say, yes. He saves even the willful captive. But can that person be compared to the one, even herself now, before she had it, she was more at peace. And that peace she had, it was not even affecting heaven. Her peace was not giving God peace. It was not adding to the peace of God. God was just happy that she was happy. That's all. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If they catch you in somebody's wife and kill you, most times they will kill you. Have you not seen where they kill men that they catch another person's wife? The man just removed gun and says, better I go to hell. You two go to hell with me. Why? Why? Firstly, you will not die. You will live. And it's for yourself. Everything God says, seeing that we are having problem with God today, it's not because it's affecting him. Your righteousness is not affecting God. He just wants you to live above it and have a wonderful life on earth. Yes, see how wonderful he is. It's not transaction. Are you all listening to me tonight? You know, some people have discussions of heaven, hell. I live right so that I make heaven. I will not live bad so that I don't go to hell. It's not about that. You know, why people go to hell is that finally they chose not to receive the love of God. And since they didn't receive the love of God, they became under Satan's mastery. Satan used them to stifle. And when something has been used to stifle, what happens? You throw it in the trash can. It's the truth. Such people cannot live in the New Jerusalem because they rejected the love of God. They condemn themselves. And that is why the Bible says we have a responsibility as Christians to go out there and make disciples from all nations. Some will receive, some may not want to receive. And that's why we'll be praying for them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So if there's a hell, and actually, if you reject the love of God, you end up there. You think God will not do something so much bigger and weightier for you not to end up there? He has taught it, and that's what I'm talking to you about this evening. Whatever I'm saying is not to the end that you don't go to hell. No, it is to the end that you have a wonderful life on earth. A beautiful life on earth. A fulfilled life on earth. It is possible that some people are going to go to heaven, but they will have terrible time on the face of the earth. Terrible time. Imagine, for instance, I was watching a video this morning, and the man was over 89 years old. And they said, what is your greatest regret? He said, marrying the wrong woman at 89. He said, marrying the wrong woman. I wanted to share it. I just forgot to share it. I've shared with some of you so that you know, some of you don't know you ever reach 89 years old. As you are sitting here, all of you, you will reach 89 and more in Jesus' name. Now, God forbid that 89, they ask you, what is your greatest regret? You say, marrying the wrong person. You know, when they say, don't marry wrongly, now that you are like 19, 16, 20, you are like, don't leave this pastor, don't leave me. Pastor, this, don't disturb me. Let me enjoy my life. The wrong decision starts now and it spans to over like 10, 20 years before you even realize the wrong decision for some of you. Probably that man was in marriage for like 20 years before you know, I was just wasting my time. I made a terrible mistake. At 89, you say my worst decision, my worst mistake was marrying the wrong woman. 89. Then I say, why did you say that? I say, for instance, look at me now. I have no direct descendant, no children, no grandchildren. Because they were cheating on me, blah, 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 blah. And I felt so bad, I refused to remarry, blah, 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 blah. And now I'm going to die just leaving some of my brothers and sisters. And, you know, I said, just imagine, that's why I'm sitting here at the park every time, waiting for my death. It starts now. They say, don't date the wrong person you are dating. You think it's easy to break? You know, some people think they are wiser than Satan. So as I'm dating her now, as I'm dating him now, after like 4 years, when school finish, the relationship will come finish. We'll come part ways. We'll come go marry our real husband and our real wife. I've heard things like that. I just laugh. Your plan is Satan is done now. Satan is just like, good planner, event planner, well done. Satan is planning even worse. As you are planning like that, he's planning his own. You don't know who is who. They toast you, all you are seeing is pink leaf. You didn't see the HIV. Pink leaves. Fresh. Now it has been transferred. But if you have Jesus, you have shock absorbers. Pink leaves, Odeshi. He gives the ability to do Odeshi to all of this kind of thing. It's true. I'm not just joking here. Look at me now. I finished BSU years ago. As a fine man that I am. I know I'm fine. And the world is so cruel. You have to tell yourself you are fine. People will not even tell you you are fine. You know, some of you, it's been a long time, somebody say you look fine. If you don't encourage yourself in the Lord, you will die a miserable death. Sometimes go to the mirror, look at the mirror and say, I'm a fine man, I'm a fine woman. Just tell yourself, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Not when I say, you look fine, say, hey, say it again, let me hear. Now, as I'm fine like this, very fine like this, you know, I'm not too fine like before again now. Those days I used to be more fine than now. In BSU, the trials, I faced some trials, oh. Some trials and some trials. There are trials and there are trials. I was preaching in Remedias. A young man looked at me and said, this one, 2 years, you don't finish. I'm saying the truth. That time BSU was BSU. Now the demons are not so intoxicated like before. Before, Mami Wata used to walk in. You know, now you don't have those spirits again. BSU has calmed down now. When we're in Remedia, you see that front, that first gate. You see ladies with shine cloth. The skirt is here. You should be walking like this. I'm telling you the truth. True life story. Sin has reduced now. Yes. Those days in BSU, they say the girls hosted that time. They used to, spirit used to come in the night and greet them in the night. It's not a joke. It's real life story. They used to come. They just come and play, sway, and go back. Yeah. Was it not the time I prayed and said, God, give me BSU? When I prayed in the night, and I saw myself underwater with fine people, very beautiful people. I was even admiring the people till I realized I'm underwater. I said, where am I? And they were saying, come and collect BSU. I said, where? Inside water. So that you are able to stand the lies of Satan. He will always defeat you through what? Lies. He's a thief. He has come but to what? Steal, to what? Kill, and to what? Destroy. He will try to lie to you. That's why sometimes when I see people just saying fire, they are not understanding the word of God. I used to pity them. It's not by shouting fire. You got to understand the word. It is through the word that you wage good warfare. Because the battlefield is your mind. As you are seated, Satan will be suggesting stupid things. Why not meet the allergy? What is there? Just one time now. He will give you 1 million. But you refuse it. Like the 3 Hebrew boys, you say, I'd rather perish. If we perish, we perish. And God will save you, of course. You see a fourth man in the fire. Who says we can't be perfect? God has said we can be perfect. Hell yes, I'm perfect. I wake up in the morning, I'm very perfect. Very, very perfect. I don't agree with sickness. I don't agree with sin. I don't agree with no addiction. In the name of Jesus, I say it in my mouth. I feel it in my heart. I see it in my life. Say from my mouth, it transformed my heart. Say, I'm perfect. Glory to God forevermore. There are a lot in scripture. We can't start sharing everything. You see what he says in Colossians 3:1 in the Amplified rendition. Everyone read. Oh, are you excited?
Yes, sir.
Look at the screen, everybody, and read out loud. One, two, go. Let's read again. One, two, go. Therefore. Have you been raised to a new life? You people are not speaking like you know it. Do you know you've been raised to a new life? Listen, in church, you don't mind your neighbor. Get into the spirit of the word. Are you hearing me? You've been raised to a new life. I can feel it in the whole of my body. I have a new life. That's what the word says. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Before we continue, 1 John 5:13. I hope I'm right. I think I'm right. Everyone, I want you to read 1 John 5:13. Let's read together. These things. Say, I already have eternal life. You're not going to have it. I mean, you have eternal life. It's not some, we're not joking. We're not lying. How many of you believe in Jesus in this place? You have eternal life. Eternal life is not just long life or a life after the earth. It's a quality of life. The God kind of life. Are you listening to me? Sickness cannot weigh you down. We sang, death could not weigh him down. And the Bible says in verse 7 of Romans 6, it says, he that is dead is free from sin. The TPT rendition says, obviously, a dead man cannot sin. Obviously, a dead man is incapable of sinning. You people hear this wonderful evening. These are your sunnesses. These things you should talk it every day. He said that the communication of your faith may what? Made effectual by what? The acknowledging of every word, good thing that Jesus has done for you. Your faith becomes effective when you begin to say these things. You don't keep them. You say it. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. Your mouth was not primarily designed for food. In my image and likeness? Did he not say I created you in my image and likeness? If you were created in God's image and likeness, what does God use his mouth to do? Just to eat? Yeah, he ate while he was on the earth, isn't it? So you should eat too. But primarily, in the beginning, he said, let there be light. And there was light. He was creating things. No wonder Abraham caught that revelation. The Bible says Abraham called the things which were not as though they were. You see that? He called the things. You know, you are saying I can't sin. It is the things which are not. You are saying it as though they were. They say you sinned yesterday, but today in service you are shouting I can't sin. Because the revelation has hit you. I can't sin. I can't sin. They don't understand. This girl is shouting. This boy is saying, we know him to be a smoker. I said, I refuse to smoke. I refuse to smoke. Now something is settled in your spirit. You just got a revelation of what you already have. You see that? Now you are not shaking. You are not scared like Gehazi. You just realize what you have. The confidence of Elijah has entered you. No wonder the Bible said, I have not given you the spirit to fear again. He said, but the spirit of what? Sound mind. You see how we are bold. See how we are bold with this kind of things. Who are these people that say they can't sin? Are they stupid? We are not stupid. The Bible says he has said so that we may boldly say, not timidly. You are not being proud. You are obeying scriptures. Hebrews said he has said so that you say with boldness. Say we are all sinners. I say no, I'm minus me, please. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to God. I have eternal life. I already have it. I'm not going to have it. I have it already. The day I believed Jesus, I received it. The day I was born again, I received it by faith. So, but did you see it entering you? No, we don't need to see it. Gehazi didn't see it, but they were available. But there's an advantage when you see it. And this evening as I'm teaching, you are seeing it. You are seeing it. Because knowledge is reciprocal to seeing. It is reciprocal. Knowledge. If I say yellow, you know yellow. Because you have seen yellow. Take for instance, see what the Bible says, 1 John 3:6. I want everybody to read. Knowledge is reciprocal to seeing. Say, somebody said, I saw Jesus. I said, I read Jesus. Say, so me that saw, I'm better than you. Say, no. Me that read. In fact, you that read wouldn't have more advantage. Because how do you know it's Jesus self you saw? So I saw Jesus, he told me to go to Benue Benue River and fetch the mud for sacrifice. Jesus cannot say that. He has been offered as the ultimate sacrifice. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But when you read the word of God, that's where you see that Jesus cannot say that kind of thing. He can't tell you currently anything against what he has said before. His word is like a straight line. It cannot be broken. It cannot. Scriptures cannot be broken. Let's read together. But the one who continues sinning has in what? Or what? Say it in the KJV so that you understand better. KJV. Want to read. You see that? If you have seen him, it is reciprocal to what? Knowing him. How many of you know the word of God here? You've seen Jesus. We cannot see Jesus. He said, if you can't see me, you can't stop sin. And remember the formula. I have come to save my people from their sin. That simply means if he came to stop sin in our life, it means that we are seeing a formula here. It's like mass, rightly dividing the world of truth. Jesus said he has come to save the people from their sin. Now Jesus is saying, if you don't see me, you cannot stop sin. That means the way he has come to save us from sin is by causing us to see him. Are you seeing this now? So how many of you believe you are above sin? How many of you believe you've seen him? How many of you know him? And I said one time while we talked about abiding in him, I said the abiding is where everything is settled. It's not enough to read the Bible. You go back home and you abide. He said, if you abide in me and my words. He did not say, and I abide. You see, he replaced himself by his word. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see that? He said, then whatever you ask of me, you shall receive. Woo, 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 woo. He replaced himself by his word. So what happens when you are reading the Bible in the morning? What happens when you carry the now word? If you are not feeling the presence, you don't understand it yet. Can you say, whenever I read the Bible, I am interfacing with God the King. God the King. God the Almighty. It's as if I'm sitting on the table and having breakfast with God Almighty. When I carry my Bible, you see, my best moment in life is when I'm reading the Bible. You see me, the earpiece most times, sometimes I forget it and bring it here. I'm listening to scriptures. They are my most exciting part of any day is when I plug the scriptures to my ear. I know I'm in for something. How can I even fail? Failure in life is not possible. It's not a goal. Making money is not a goal. But I must make the money. Because I have been implicated. He said, when you seek first the kingdom, every other good thing will be added. You see, following, pursuing good thing is not what I'm doing. You see, but because I am following God Almighty, I'm seeking him first. Good things must come. I've been implicated for life for good things. Whether you like it or not, as long as you are following God, you must get money. Nobody follows God and is poor. Nobody. He will give you plenty money because he knows you will use the money more than people that don't have sense. He said the prosperity of a fool destroys him, not your own prosperity. So listen, God wants you to have plenty money because he knows that you will use the money very well. But is that our pursuit? Our pursuit, revival. You give us cell meeting, we do it with our life. You give us fellowship meetings, we coordinate it with our life. Knowing that this is what makes God excited. Souls. You see, what can a man offer in exchange of a soul? Meaning in this world, nothing compares to a soul before God. Imagine you want God to, if you want to be on the same track with God, love souls. You like winning souls. You see, you are setting God up for blessing you. I mean, as I'm saying it now, you'll still do it. Yes, sir. You love winning souls. Ah, heaven is at your back. He said, prove your call by doing the work of an evangelist. Meaning, he doesn't think you are a Christian until you begin to win souls. As you are winning, it's like angels, come and see. Come and see this beautiful human being. He said, they that win souls are like the stars of heaven. Things that they admire in heaven. Meaning the whole heaven will be looking at you. Wow, such a beautiful person. Yes, heaven superstar. A pastor friend said, is that the number, how effective your church is not the people seated. It's not by the number of people seated. He said, how effective your church is based on the number of the people that can be sent. That can be sent on a mission. When we say all our church members are soul winners, all our church members have cells and they are functional cells. Say, it's working. It's working. God is working in their midst. And that's why it's not enough to just sit down here, get discipled. It is when you become discipled that you become a weapon. Are you listening to me? A weapon on the hand of God, in the hands of God. He can use you when you are discipled. The Bible says, Abraham gave weapons to train men. He gave weapons to train. If you are not trained, God cannot give you certain kind of responsibilities. That's why you need to be discipled. Do you know one day you seated there can be a cell leader? One day you seated and looking at me will be a pastor. All my pastors today, if even me didn't believe they were going to be pastors. When I met them, I didn't see anything about pastoring in them. But over the years, as I taught them the word, I found out. God began to speak. He said, this one is a pastor. This one is a pastor. I'm telling you. You know, some of you may think what you are doing right now has no connection with pastoring. Jesus was a carpenter for over 30 years. 20 something years, I mean. He was a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter. He was a carpenter. He was following his father to hit hammer, even though he knew the call of God upon his life. So you right now may be a shoemaker. You right now may be an engineer. You may not see any connection with pastoring. Probably you've been called to save people. You will not realize that until you give yourself to the Holy Spirit, to the full mastery of the Holy Spirit through the local church. And say, God Almighty, groom me. He said the fivefold ministry will perfect the saints. What are the fivefold ministry? The men he has put in the church. He said they will raise other men that will go out there and do the work of the ministry. Meaning if you are really effective as a Christian, you should be doing the work of the ministry now. If you are not, you have not been discipled properly. Or you have not agreed for the ministry of discipling to be functional in your life. Are you listening to me? We have a glorious life. Rejoice. We have a glorious life. It's so glorious. Are you listening to me? So glorious. Now, from henceforth, before we stand up and pray, mount up a consciousness of who you are. Don't accept sin as a norm. It's not a norm. Listen, some of us are bold to tell you the truth. You are the light of the world. Davido is not the light of the world. Whiskey and Bonner Boy, they are not the light of the world. We are not insulting them. We are not rejecting them. But we are spilling out the truth. The word of God is the light of this world. Are you listening to me? And that's why I say, be not conformed to the system. Have the impetus not to be conformed. The worth of a man is not in the acquisition of the abundance he has as material things on the earth. Don't put people up there because they have money and call them light. No! Are you listening to me? God's word is the standard. Your dream is to become who the world says you should be. That's the only thing that matters. Who told you who has ever followed the path of God and regretted? In fact, what is life without following the path of God? What is life? What did you live? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do I have people in this evening that are passionate about living for God? Imagine you finish this earth without living for God. That the only thing it is that you are Mama Chioma. You now have 3 children. One day you now died. How terrible was your life? How terrible. That the only thing, you are Baba Samson. You traveled all the world. You made all the money for your children and grandchildren. Then finally you died. You are not different from that person God called the rich fool in the Bible. Do you remember him? He said, I've made everything. Listen carefully. He said, I've made everything. He said, now my soul rests. Rest my soul. Enjoy all the things. This is how many people are living on the earth. They are making money so that one day they will rest and enjoy the money. What did God call him? He said, you rich fool. You're not just making money to want to sit down. Money is through things, through purpose. I mean, if there is no purpose, money will destroy you. Are you listening to me? you like this now with what you know about God? He cannot. If he comes, it will just be flowing forward into souls, into nations, into the harvest of souls, into discipling people, into speakers. Are you listening to me? Into gadgets. It will be flowing to that direction, so you will not be mad. There is need. There is always, as long as the whole world are not saved yet, we need money. Some of us, we smuggle now into interior part of the world. You see the way they smuggle cocaine? We will smuggle now into where they say Jesus, we will smuggle the word of God and put there. I know of a church today that are smuggling the word of God. Like people are smuggling cocaine. They have people who are smuggling the word of God and taking it to places that the government reject Christianity. I will train smugglers. Smugglers. No, let me say it before they get me wrong. Smugglers for the word. People that will carry the word of God to the deepest part of China. And when they go, they'll just pour it on the streets. Kenyon said, you know what, before Kenyon died, he said people are rejecting my word and they are burning them. Pastors were burning his books. They said they were too tough. That he was bringing things that he's not supposed to talk about. You see, he was making God look too near to people. They see God too far. He was bringing God too near. You know, one day I was teaching one of my neighbors as a student. He said, Pastor, why are you making me feel like I'm a good person? I'm not a good person. I said, no, you are the righteousness of God. He said, Pastor, you are making me feel like I can be good. I know I'm not good, sir. I said, no, you are good. You are good. You've not just realized that you are good. And now that you know, you can be good. Glory to God. I mean, you want to come to that point that you sit down and talk to somebody about Jesus. He doesn't know where to go from. I taught a young man Jesus. He told me something. He said, Simon, Pastor, sir. He said, nobody can hear this thing and reject Jesus. Tears filled my eyes. He was crying while tears filled my eyes in my room. When I was done teaching him, he said, nobody. He said, no wonder I was not a Christian all this while. He told me he wants to die at 32. He has already planned his life. Yahoo. You know this Yahoo they do. He has planned his life. They told him 32. Now he was 21. Has a car. We met at the mechanic. And for some reason he said he doesn't know why he wanted to talk to me. When he just saw me, I observed from the inception, he wanted to just speak to me. There was this pool to talk to me. My Bible friend, he came, he said, sir, your Bible. I said, who is this guy that is so respectful and nice? He said, sir, I don't know. What's your name, sir? He started the conversation. I said, I'm Simon. What's your name? We shook hands and we started talking. While we're talking, I wanted to go. He said, sir, hey, I wish this conversation would not stop. It was a Saturday. We had meeting. When we finished, oh my goodness, the next day I now told him, I said, come to my house on Monday morning. He was going to work. He now passed my house. When I started teaching this young man the word of God, in the morning he started crying. When he started crying, he said, sir, if anybody has told me this about Jesus, I don't think I would have rejected Christianity. He said, sir, I said I would die at 32. I agreed. He said, sir, is it possible that these charms, I said, do you feel as if these charms can kill you? He said, no. I said, bring them, let me burn it. Let me burn that person that said you would die at 32. He said, sir, I told him, if I burn it now, he'll be dying wherever he is. His temple will be set on fire. Oh, glory. You don't know you are more dangerous. Cabruze gave a high. You know, there's something I saw. I feel fire on my legs. There's something I saw. Listen carefully. I saw this in scripture to the Hebrews 3:1. I didn't believe that this thing existed in the Bible. The Bible said, look at, let's read together. I want to go. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession. When I checked that word for some reason today, profession, I found out that word profession means is homologio in Greek. He's the high priest of our confession. Meaning, he cannot high priest for us if we are saying the wrong things. I don't know that you catch what I just said. Meaning, no, he's our high priest, but you are the one that you determine how much of high priest, of a high priest he will work for you, he will be for you. If you say the wrong things, He cannot high priest for you. I found that the word there is homologio. It is interpreted confession too. So what is our profession as Christians? Confessing the word. Hey! Speaking God's word. That's how we shift nation and cultures. What is the pattern? Mouth hard your life. Mouth hard. If the book of the Lord do not depart from your heart, your mouth, you shall have good success. You shall make your path prosperous. You shall have good success. People of God, this thing is on you. It's on you. It's on you. Are you listening to me? You can determine how far, how beautiful. I always tell myself, Simon, you determine everything. God has given us the power to determine it by our speaking, our believing. Before I got here, brethren, do you know how many people wish I failed? They can only stop at the realm of wish. It can never happen. Because my speaking and my talking will never be uttered. He said, if you are born of God, you have overcome the whole world. The greater one lives in you. You know, as I'm talking to you now, you are going back home to save your family from setting altars. Some of you are coming from homes that stupid things have been incanted for many years. Blood have been spilled. But as you are going back home now, you are removing those things. Don't joke. He said you have come to the city of the firstborn. If we are lastborn, you have come to a place of responsibility. Start seeing yourself as a firstborn. Take responsibility in your homes. Go back. You know, no wrong thing happens in my home. That's how you talk as a child of God. Knowing you have a high priest. The high priest of your confession. As you say it, as his work, you need to give him something to work with. Your speaking is what he needs to work with. Somebody says, your father will die. No problem. He has finished his stupid, useless chant, dirty language. The Bible said to men, we utter foolishness. He said, but in the spirit, we are uttering mysteries. Do you understand what happens when you pray in tongues? You go and lock the room and you begin to pray. Libro handa bashadia kapai. In fact, the tongues have killed him and his generation. Only English have started the fight already. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And you know why you need to pray in tongues sometimes? Because you don't even know how to pray. You don't know the situation. He has made mouth. He said, you will see. Do you know when Goliath spoke, David spoke? If you check, David spoke more words than Goliath. As Goliath was speaking, he was speaking. As Goliath was speaking, he was speaking. It got to a point. He said something bigger than his life, and in fact, something bigger than his king and his city and his generation. You know what he said? He said, you this uncircumcised. He didn't call him Goliath. There's a covenant way of describing your problems. A covenant way. He didn't say Goliath. He said, you this uncircumcised Philistine. He implicated him by covenant. Standing before the army of the Lord. He said, you. He said, today I will pluck your head. What? You like this pluck somebody's head. With what machete? He said it. He said, I will pluck your head. Then guess what he said? He said, I will feed it to the birds of heaven. Which kind of mouth is that? David was like Michael. I'm not saying a lie. Michael is now, I think he's 16 or getting to 17 or something. Or 15. That's how David was. Very small boy like this boy. But the confession, the things he was saying, Goliath felt embarrassed. Goliath felt like dying. Go and read the Bible. Goliath said, are they joking with me? Is Israel joking with me? Are they mad for sending this kind of thing before me? Are they joking with me? They didn't only send him the thing that was coming out from his mouth. Intercontinental missiles. That's not where it stopped. He said, when I pluck your head and I feed, in as a sheep. He said, all these boys following you, I will kill them one after the other. They have sense with those boys. See what happened? When he killed Goliath, the boys, they started running for their life. They said, for him to kill this ogre, remember what he has said. You see, your confession always goes ahead of your manifestation. If you don't say it, you will not see it. Remember, why Goliath died like that? David said it. When David said it, there was no machete on his hand. He didn't know that what he will use to kill Goliath is Goliath's machete. See, the things must not be in place before you say it. You don't have the money, say it. You don't have the connection, say it. As you are facing the problem, the solution will come from even the problem. Have you observed that most times solution comes when you interface with problems? The solution is in the problem. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, say, God, why me? Why not you? You are about to receive a solution for nations. People will come to you and say, I'm going through this. You smile. And you say, keep on going. Is it the way God told Moses? He said, keep on moving. He's saying, God, I'm standing before Red Sea. He said, keep moving, Moses. It was a training. Keep moving. He said, God, I've reached. Should I fall inside? He said, what do you have? He said, I have nothing. He said, what is on your hand? He said, stick. He said, no, call it mantle. What do you have right now, people of God? Sir, my job is just, I just have this little handwork. You say, little what? It's not little handwork. It's a handwork that will call forth nations. By that, he parted the Red Sea. And they walked as if it was a dry ground. You see this little thing you are calling little on your hands now? This little handwork. See, but Pastor, I don't have all the connection. I'm in Makurdi. People are going to Abuja to have a better connection. Peter was at the shores of the river. The only thing that made him relevant was that Jesus saw him at the shores. Jesus, before he gets to the middle, he starts from the shores. He said to Peter, can I use your boat to just preach small? Peter said, why not, sir? Go ahead. When he came down, Peter thought, some people would think that coming to church is making them to lose time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That Jesus is like borrowing their time for a while. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, he's borrowing their business time, their boats, for some moment. And some will say, no. Even on Sunday, I will not leave my business. But you borrow Jesus your boat, your time, for some moment. He used it. When he was done, he said, all right, what do you... He said, no. I said, okay, why not we catch fish? He said, no, Master, I've been toiling from morning before you came. With all due respect, I'm not trying to disrespect you. He said, I did not catch anything. He said, yeah, I will not come and catch. He said, just cast it. He said, sir, I've been trying. He said, cast it. He said, Peter, very wise man. He said, well, I've been trying, I did not catch, but at thy word. Same location, but at thy word. You've been trying this business every day, Makurdi, but now that you have heard his word, go and try it again. Peter said, at thy word, in this same location, I will cast my net. Where I have not caught fish since morning, same location, I'm going to cast. He casted the net, the same location. He started calling for help from Abuja. I mean, he started calling for help from the US. I mean, he started calling for help. People at the middle of the river were coming. Somebody caught fish at the shores. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? At the shores in Abuja, they were coming to partner. A great light has arisen from Makurdi. You are in this city, but you understand how it works. It's a darkness covers the earth. It's a gross darkness of people. It's about upon you and I. It says, shall the glory of the Lord rise. It's a nation shall come to thy light. Nations, do you believe this? It's a king to the brightness of your rising. We do life from this consciousness. We bid in life from this consciousness. We are trading in life from this understanding. It's like spiritual coin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The word of God. You can trade your life on it. They say we don't put all our eggs in one basket. You say, you know, in the world we put everything in the world, because his nature cannot lie. The Bible said, it's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He said, just as the rain cometh from heaven and waters the ground and brings up fruit from the ground, he said, so is my word. He said, for my word shall not come to you and return to me void. For God to cause these things to come down tonight, you will see them. Somebody pray and rejoice like somebody that will see it. From this place they are coming. We are unique from here. We are unique. Kabaya. Somebody lift up your voice and pray. We trade with the intangibles. We trade with the intangibles. Because the things which are not seen are more real. There's a consciousness now. There's a consciousness of what we have. We are aware. We are using it. We are using it. In our mouth, in our hearts, in our life. In our mouth, in our hearts, in our life. Kayabayaka. The anointing of the Lord is heavy here. The presence of the Lord is here. Zupande kanatu salata. Paria katosia. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I refuse to look down on myself. That's what the devil wants. I just realize who I am tonight. The word of the Lord in my mouth and in my heart, I will speak it. I believe it. I will say it. As I'm speaking, I'm rising like an edifice, rising on the wings of the Spirit. As you are speaking, you can feel it. The word is lifting you up. It is lifting you up. You are walking upon the impossibilities of life. Like our team for the year says, it says it's the year of walking on impossibilities.
Yeah. worship you. Woo! You are my God. Lord, charge me up. Charge me up.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.